Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women, now in our 11th year. I'm also the multi-best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing company, InspiredLivingPublishing.com, which is dedicated to giving visionary female entrepreneurs, coaches, and health practitioners a voice in a high-profile media and publishing platform to share their wisdom, enhance their expert status, and bring their brand out of the shadows and in front of the woman they're meant to serve. In fact, I have to say I am so excited because just this morning, March 14th, Inspired Living Publishing gave birth to its sixth sacred anthology, Midlife Transformation, Redefining Life, Love, Health, and Success. Order your copy today at midlifetransformationbook.com and receive access to over 60 transformational gifts from my authors, sacred community, and some of my visionary gal pals, including Marcy Shymoff, Ariel Ford, Christy Whitman, and many others. All of my brands, including this show, are dedicated to inspiring women to live their best lives. So welcome. I can't wait to dive into today's conversation. Many people spend years waiting for a soulmate to complete them. I know I was guilty of that. Others settle for unfulfilling relationships out of fear of being alone. My guest, best-selling author Lauren Mackler, discusses her groundbreaking roadmap to help you achieve greater wholeness and self-mastery on your own and in a relationship. Mastering the art of aloneness is about freeing yourself from the shackles of your life conditioning and reclaiming your innate wholeness. It's about shedding those self-defeating patterns and becoming the person you were born to be. Rather than expect someone else to complete you, Lauren suggests becoming the partner you seek, your own cherished soulmate. So allow me to introduce her, and then we'll dive into this conversation. For more than 20 years, Lauren Mackler has helped individuals, couples, groups, and companies around the world to live boldly, helping them to liberate their potential and achieve the vision to which they aspire. She is a coach and psychotherapist, a media commentator for CNN and Fox, blogger for the Huffington Post, creator of Illumineering Coaching, and author of the international bestseller, Soulmate, Master the Art of Aloneness and Transform Your Life. Her work has been covered widely in the media, including NPR, Wall Street Journal, Whole Living, and many other media outlets. Lauren is also a faculty member at Babson College, guest lecturer at Harvard, and a featured presenter at Kripalu. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say, too, because we were talking earlier, the name of your book, Soulmate, is really a play on words because it's not spelled soulmate, S-O-U-L. It's spelled soulmate, S-O-L-E. And let's talk about that play on words. What led you to name it that?
Well, the book actually was based on a workshop that I developed 10 years before the book came out called Mastering the Art of Aloneness. And when I was turning the workshop into a book, the publisher did not want that to be the title of the book. They said, you got to come up with something else, and then, you know, you can use the other part as a subtitle. So racked my brain trying to think of something that would fit, and then Soulmate, S-O-L-E-M-A-T-E, came to mind because it's about relationship with yourself. It's not about being alone. It's about your relationship with yourself. So solo made a lot of sense, and I thought it was kind of a cute little play on words to have soulmates.
I love it because that's what really what the book is about. It's about going inward and healing your relationship with yourself so that you can show up fully in your relationships. So let's talk about that, because you talk about the importance of mastering the art of aloneness, right? Whether you're living your life alone or with a partner. So what do you mean by mastering the art of aloneness?
Well, you could also call it mastering the art of wholeness. That's really what it's about. I mean, when we're born, we come into the world as very whole, integrated human beings, you know, and we come in with innate personality traits and innate gifts and talents and the ability to feel and express all of our emotions and who we are. And then through the life conditioning process, you know, parts of ourselves get lost, get eroded, kind of diminished. I call those lost parts. So by the time most of us grow up, by the time we're like 18, we are no longer whole. And in the unconscious quest for wholeness, people look outside of themselves to come back to that state of wholeness, to have that sense of well-being. And most of the time, the default approach is to look for another person, right? Look for a relationship. And our relationship with ourselves is completely forgotten in that process. And yet, and I say this often to people, the one primary relationship that is 24/7, never ending, from the time you come in, you know, to the planet until the time you leave, the one person you can't leave, you can't divorce, you can't get away from, even for a second, is yourself. And so really, that is the primary relationship in your life, and yet many people never learned how to have a healthy, self-respecting, joyful, fulfilling relationship within themselves and on their own. So that's really what it's about, and I do believe it's a requisite to have a healthy, strong relationship with yourself, not as a concept, but actually living that to be able to share a conscious, healthy relationship with somebody else.
You know, I'm thinking as you're speaking, I was thinking back in my life, and it wasn't until I healed a relationship with myself that I was able to be in a healthy, whole, beautiful relationship, which I've been in now for 22 years. But I had to heal exactly what we're talking about, that art of aloneness. I used to always be on the go because I couldn't stand the thought of being alone with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the symptoms, you know, of someone who is struggling with that, with being within themselves and honoring themselves and showing up authentically? Because we hide behind masks so often.
Well, absolutely. In fact, next week I'm doing a workshop at Kripalu. I think that this is going to be airing, I guess, after the workshop. But I'll be doing a workshop at Kripalu, which is called Live Boldly, Liberate Your Authentic Self. It is absolutely about that. You know, it's really the relationship with yourself, as I said, it's a primary kind of thing. And I think that most people, when you're doing the work of reclaiming your innate wholeness, which is what my Illuminarian coaching method is really built around, you're automatically liberating your authentic self because you're coming back into a state of wholeness and you're looking at the parts of you that are sort of underdeveloped, that you look to other people to maybe fill those voids. It might be the part of you that has healthy self-esteem and feels really good about yourself and feels confident as you walk through the world. It might be the part that aspires to fulfill your potential, but the conditioned self is so afraid of failure or has low self-esteem or feels undeserving or whatever it is. So you're coming automatically, you're doing that healing work as you're doing this process because you are, in fact, reclaiming those lost parts. And when you have two individuals that come together in partnership from a place of wholeness, they're coming into the relationship from a place of conscious choice, you know, as opposed to sort of unconscious need. And unconscious relationships, we're replicating and playing out the wounds of our childhood more often than not in that relationship. And we can't really show up, like you were saying, showing up and being present to be able to share a very different type of relationship. But the book and this approach is not, okay, do this so you can go have a relationship, because some people don't want to have a relationship, or some people you know, they're in a relationship and their partner dies. It's really about building that foundation so that whether you're in a relationship or not, you're living life from a solid foundation of self-confidence, of self-respect, of feeling safe within yourself, ability, you know, able to take care of yourself, and you're not dependent on another person for your well-being or security.
And even
that,
yeah, and even happiness, right? I used to, especially in my, 20s, 30s, and maybe even into my early 40s, I gave my power away to someone to say, well, they'll make me happy. When you and I know now, the truth is no one can make you happy. It has to come from within, right? And then you bring your whole self to the relationship. But for a long time, I would try to fill. Oh, you're not alone, Lauren.
I also learned that the hard way. In fact, what really, and I don't know if you, maybe I'm jumping the gun, maybe you were going to ask me this question, but really what, how this whole thing emerged was through my own experience of getting married at 23, and I was on my way to being, you know, I was a professional singer. I had my Screen Actors Guild card. I was aspiring to be in show business, and I was 18 and already had a lot of successes with a recording group. Called Tuxedo Junction, which you may remember, and everything was going great, and then I fell in love, and I walked away from everything and did what my mom did, gave up my career, and married a doctor, and I moved to his country, he lived in Europe, and I built my life totally dependent upon this person. I became a psychotherapist and worked in his medical practice under his medical license. I moved to his country. My identity was very much wrapped up in what he did in his business, his medical practice, so that when the relationship ended, when the marriage crumbled, my life as I knew it completely dissipated to the point where the children and I couldn't even afford to stay there, and I had to sell everything that I had to afford 3 plane tickets to come back to this country. Came back here at rock bottom, no money, penniless, 2 kids to take care of by myself, and no American credentials, you know, as a psychotherapist, because all my training had been done in Europe. And it was a tough lesson. And I never thought I could ever be happy again. And I had to rebuild really from scratch. And I did. But that process was so illuminating in terms of how much, like you said, giving your power away. And it allowed me to go into the past because I wanted to understand what in the heck happened here that I ended up here at this point.
That's the important part, too, is understanding how the past was affecting your future. And when we come back from our break, I want to talk about that more because your story is so many other women's stories, including mine. And to hear how you've overcome it, I think, is a powerful conversation to have today. And we'll be back in a moment with Lauren Mackler of laurenmackler.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. 4-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Lauren Mackler of laurenmackler.com. And Lauren, right before the break, you were walking us through this, which I can't even imagine, especially with this with children, is having the rug pulled out from under you, really starting from scratch, losing your whole identity as a wife, as a professional, well, actually even the country that you lived in. So
yeah.
You were saying that that's when you started to dive deep and look at what brought you there. So let's talk about that more, because I think for so many women who could be on the show right now listening, feeling like they are going through something devastating or traumatic or life-changing and feel stuck or feel as if there's no hope.
Absolutely. And to those people out there that may be in that situation, I'd like to just start with saying there is hope. If I could do it, anybody could, because I was so rock bottom. I'll level with you and tell you I didn't want to live anymore. And one of the things that really kept me in the game was the fact that I had these two children for whom I was responsible, and I would never inflict that type of injury on my children, because it's extremely injurious when a parent suicides. So I had, you know, fortunately that motivation that just was off the table. It just wasn't even an option. But that's how badly I felt. I also felt absolutely terrified. I had been conditioned to believe that I needed a man to take care of me. I needed somebody else to provide for me and to kind of make me secure in the world. And even though I was not aware that I held that deeply embedded belief, I was a 14-year-old runaway. I hitchhiked from Boston to Florida, to West Florida, at the age of 14 years old. So by all appearances, it looked like I was this very fearless, independent person. But I ended up defaulting right back to what my mom did, unconsciously, giving up my career and finding a man to take care of me. So that, you know, that was a real eye-opening thing. And it's not just women that do that. I mean, men can be in emotionally dependent and financially dependent relationships as well. But when you are relying on somebody else, the rug can be pulled out from underneath you. And then life as you know it ceases to exist. So I realized I needed to, you know, I had to figure this out. And when I first came back, I relocated back in my hometown area of Dartmouth, Massachusetts. And I looked really hard for somebody, a therapist, to work with me and help me, which I'm not easy to therapize because I'm a therapist myself, which sometimes makes it worse for me. And I couldn't find a resource that was right at that time. So I realized I've got to figure this out myself. And I'm smart. I'm resourceful. I'm a psychotherapist. I should be able to figure this out. So I sat down one day. This was the beginning of the whole Mastering the Art of Aloneness process. I sat down and I made a list of all the things I was struggling with. I had no money. I was scared. I felt hopeless. I felt guilty about what had happened with my children's lives. I had no American, you know, credentials. I did not have a livelihood. I had all these challenges. And then next to each challenge, I wrote, where is the opportunity here? Where is the opportunity? So, for example, not having money or having very little money, I said, okay, here's an opportunity to learn how to manage money, because I never did learn how to manage money well. Low self-esteem, feeling bad about myself. I carry that my whole life, Linda, and there's an opportunity to build my self-confidence from the inside out. And I continued this process, and that was the first step. That was the first step. So that can be a great first place for your listeners to begin that might be in a stuck place.
I love it, because it's in your own pain you found the steps to bring yourself out because you had the inspiration of your children. And what I'm hearing is the steps were, it was baby steps. It wasn't like this giant leap, and that makes it doable for everyone.
Well, they were, and you know, it's really kind of ironic in that, Linda, is that I went back to school to get my American credentials, and I was focusing, you know, studying psychology, and because I already had a master's level degree from Germany, I was able to take a lot more electives instead of, you know, a lot of the basic courses. So I decided to concentrate my studies in family systems work and relationships. Because I was sort of doing a double-edged sword, of trying to figure out my own process and what happened, and at the same time, you know, get my credentials here. And I wrote a case, and what I did is, because I was having to do this for myself, I sat down and I created, the first step was the challenges and opportunities. And then I sat down, and these were the steps that I did, and I created what I called back then a self-renewal program. And I identified things that I was going to do every single day as practices to reframe my thinking, to start to, you know, have different emotional reactions and the way I was thinking about my life, which was then, you know, would change things. And I implemented this in my life personally, and I submitted it as a school project and paper, this self-renewal program. And my professor sent it back with an A on it. And she said, you could turn this into a self-renewal kit and make a fortune. And that really was the very beginning of this mastering the art of aloneness process. And then after a couple of years, I realized that what I had done for myself, because I'm very practical, as you already can probably hear, I'm all about what action steps, what concrete things can you do, breaking it down, not just theory, but what do you do? And I realized I had something that could help other people. So I started working, I created a 12-week support group called Mastering the Art of Aloneness and started facilitating that and helping other people with it. And then eventually condensed it down into a weekend workshop and started teaching it, including it at Kripalu. And then it was 10 years later that someone's turning it into a book. And eventually I did find someone, a support person, a wonderful, wonderful therapist that I worked with for several years who unfortunately recently passed away. But in that beginning, I couldn't find that resource, so I had to kind of create it for myself.
And that's what makes it powerful, right? Because you're teaching from experience too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just from the intellectual. One of your chapters, before we go on break, we have a few moments. One of your chapters that really spoke to me, I love the title because a lot of what I do with the Aspire audiences, I say it's about living from the inside out. And the chapter is called Living Deliberately versus by Default, which I take to mean autopilot, right? Which
yeah,
I think
exactly.
So many of us, and I was guilty of it and have to catch myself still to this day, even with the awareness that I have. So let's talk about what it means to you to live deliberately.
Well, it's really a very simple concept, not necessarily easy to do for a lot of people, but it's a really simple concept. It's very much common sense, and it's about aligning your thoughts and behaviors with the outcomes that you want to produce, as opposed to default, when people are living on default or, you know, autopilot. It's usually the conditioned self that is running their life. So conditioned self is who they learn to be. Authentic self is the person they were born to be. And the first half of the book is called Uncovering Your Conditioned Self, and the second half of the book is called Reclaiming Your Authentic Self. And incidentally, because I mentioned about practical tools, at the end of each chapter, you have exercises to actually do the work that you've just read about, so that you're actually going through a very structured process. As you read through each chapter of the book, you're going through the roadmap, the Mastering the Art of Aloneness roadmap and process. So living deliberately is being aware of how you think and behave on autopilot, knowing and doing the work to really know your conditioned self inside and out, how it thinks, how it operates, what its various protective parts are. In my coaching work, we actually give those different parts identities, because different parts will get activated in different circumstances or situations. Like maybe you have a people-pleasing Patty part, you know, that was habituated a long time ago and is still active in your adult life. Or maybe you have, oppositional Othello, who's always arguing with people and always on the counterattack, or maybe you have, you have withdrawing Wilma that just shuts down, right? So there can be different parts. And really knowing who those parts are and then doing the work to cut through those layers of conditioning to connect to, reconnect to, who you really are beneath all those layers.
And isn't that what we all want, Lauren, is to show up and be loved and live authentically? And
yeah, there's so much freedom in that. Oh, my goodness.
It's powerful.
It's powerful. And my authentic self was habitually angry. I was the youngest of four kids. I was the only girl, a family of boys. And I was a fighter. And I was kind of, what we call in psychology, the messenger of the system, which is, the acting out one that really is an indicator that the whole system is not well. The whole family system is not a high-functioning system. In fact, dysfunctional system.
Oh, I can relate
and,
to that.
A lot of people that do what we do, we don't have those backgrounds. That's why we get into it in the first place, to figure
exactly.
it out. It's an interesting process.
Well, I want to talk more about it when we come back from our break, and I also want to talk about fear, because right now it's a big thing, and you devote an entire chapter in your book on it. So when we come back, we'll be back in a moment with Lauren Mackler of laurenmackler.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And we're talking today with Lauren Mackler about living authentically, living deliberately, mastering the art of aloneness. And, Lauren, right before the break, I mentioned that you have this whole chapter on your book on fear, and that was a big one for me. It's how I changed my life, was learning to not listen to the voice of fear and listen to the voice of what I call spirit, right, which is One is ego, one is love. We just have different names for it. Fear is ego. So how does fear affect people's ability to activate their full potential, the potential that we've been talking about?
Well, let me just step back, first of all, and say I love that point you just made. It's just so dead on. It's so perfect. And I completely, you know, echo and agree with what you, you know, the wisdom of what you just said, which is fear is ego, you know, and spirit is love. And I think that fear is something that grips, see, that's, you know, I talk about a sort of an energetic elastic bands that keep people held back, you know, from being able to move forward into the fullness of who they are. And fear is certainly one of the most common of those bands, elastic bands, if you will. And I also wanted to say, because I wanted to congratulate you on your anniversary with the company, because that's, you know, you're a walking example, Linda, of fearless living fearlessly, and I just love it that you're doing all the amazing stuff that you do. I've seen you around for a while now, and I've been very impressed. So I'm happy to be here with you today, and I just wanted to sort of honor that because, it, you know, you're a great example of fearless living.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so I did devote a whole chapter to it. And fear, in my coaching practice, I work with, and I'm working with very high-functioning people that are doing interesting things in the world. And those people are troubled, you know, just like everybody else. And a lot of those people have fear and have to manage that. And some of them even have been diagnosed with things like anxiety disorders. I mean, so common. People are on medication for this stuff. And anxiety is simply, from my perspective, an exacerbated form of fear. It's an intensified form of fear. Panic attacks is getting at the highest end of the spectrum because people don't know how to catch those feelings and manage them and override them soon enough to, you know, it builds then up into full-blown anxiety or panic attacks, and that becomes an habituated as a habitual response. So fear, most of the fears that hold people back are really based on, they definitely are grounded and originate from someplace real, but in most of those cases, they're based on old limiting beliefs that might be 10, 20, 40, 50 years old that are still running them. And fear is an interesting thing. Do you want me to share kind of what I understand in the mechanics of fear that might be helpful?
Of course.
For people to hear?
Yes, please.
So I write about how in the brain, there's the subconscious part of the brain. You can think of it as like a warehouse, a storage warehouse of memory, of emotional memory. And when things happen, both positive and negative, right? You might smell something and it sends the message back to that part of the brain, and we have a positive association with that smell from childhood, or, you know, the smell of fresh cut grass for me is, oh, summer vacation, you know, from in school. So we then associate, especially trauma, lives in that part of the brain. And every time we think about doing something, we meet somebody, we are in a new environment, the brain scans that image or that mental movie, sends it to the subconscious and says, hey, do we have any reason to feel bad, you know, afraid of this? Do we have any history of this being a threat in any way? And this happens, by the way, you know, many seconds, you know. And if we hold an old emotional memory that we associate for some reason with this scanned image that's just been sent there, it will then send this sort of like red flashing light of fear. You need to be afraid. You're under threat. So let me bring that now into sort of normal life example. Let's say you're thinking of starting your own business. And so you send that idea gets immediately sent to the subconscious part about how do we feel about that. And if in the subconscious, you had a traumatic or somehow a wounding experience of, let's say, maybe you got called on at school and you didn't know the answer and you felt really stupid and everybody laughed. So you internalized at that point a core limiting belief of, I'm stupid or I'm not good enough. And that part then will get activated when you think about starting your own business, and there's a fear of failure. Or it might even not even be a fear of failure. It may not even be that clear what the fear is, but it causes you to move away from that idea because of this old association you have with putting yourself out there.
It's powerful. And you and I, we just use different words because how I've guided what you said earlier, that I was a fearless leader, I had to create that in myself based on
That's
everything
right.
that you're mm-hmm. talking about right now. And how I did it was I had to learn to decipher the or ego, right? Because for years, we don't know that it's ego. We just know that must be truth. And I had to learn to decipher it. And how I did it and how I do it with my clients is I say, you will always know if love is speaking or fear, because fear makes you feel small, less than, constricted. Love, mm-hmm. divine, support, and being in alignment, living authentically, feels expansive, exciting, and you can't wait. And that's how I had to start to shift how I processed those old scripts that you just so beautifully described, how they're affecting us when we don't even know they're affecting us.
Right, that's right. And I have a five-step process that I recommend in the chapter and suggest people that they sit down and go through the exercise after they've read the chapter. And the first, do we have time before the next break that I walk you through the five steps?
Yeah, we do. That's perfect.
Okay. So the first step is name the fear, right? So most of the time when we're trying to move away from the fear, we might try to move away using alcohol or drugs or food or sex or television or potato chips or whatever the thing is, right? To kind of move away from it and manage it and push it away. But no, you invite it in even more fully and say, okay, let me look at this. What is the fear? And see if you can name it, right? So it might be, going back to my example of starting your own business, it might be, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Step two is very consciously and deliberately play out and identify what is the gloom and doom movie that I'm playing in my head, or it might be a gloom and doom story I'm telling myself, right? So the movie might be you see yourself quitting your job and you start your company and you spend all your money instead of getting your company set up, and then nobody calls and you have no clients and nothing happens. And now you're destitute, you've gone through all your savings, you can't get a job, and you can't pay your mortgage, and you end up a bad lady on the street. That might be the movie that you're playing, give or take a few points there.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that movie.
Yeah, I think most of us can, right? Step three is then do a reality check. Okay, so do I have the skills to do this business? Yes, I do. In the worst-case scenario, if it doesn't work out, can I get another job? Well, yeah, I've gotten multiple jobs in my life. Absolutely. If I've gotten one job, I can get another job if I have to. Am I smart, and am I going to make this a very well-thought-out business and be thinking about potential obstacles in advance and have some strategies, good sound strategies in place? Yes, I am. Is there a market need for what I have to offer? Yes. Okay. So you go through and do your reality check. Then the next step is you change the movie and you start to very deliberately redirect the mind. This is the living deliberately in action. You redirect the mind and you implant in the mind a different movie. So you see yourself, you might see yourself you're sitting there in your new beautiful office and the telephone is ringing off the hook and you have to say, thank you for calling. I'm sorry, there's a 6-month wait to get into work with me. And you've got a line out your waiting room or your office, waiting to come in or use your services or come into your store or whatever the vision is. And you see it kind of going like the Field of Dreams movie, right? That long line of cars waiting to, that you see for way off in the distance. So you change the movie, which is going to give you a very different emotional reaction. And then the fifth step is a very important one, but you have to have done the work of uncovering and identifying your conditioned self to be able to do it, is what four limiting beliefs set the whole fear dynamic in motion, right? So in this case, it might have been, I'm not good enough. or I'm undeserving or something like that. So that's the five-step process to help you manage fear.
And as you broke down each step, they're all doable. They're all they're not intimidating, right? It's almost like you're just walking us through down a path.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's you know what it is. It's when you go into those, when those emotional memories get released, and we literally go into what I call a trance state. We're now, it's almost like our mind and emotion is hijacked into the past, and we're now reacting in the here and now based on something that happened a long, long time ago or a belief that we internalized a long, long time ago. And I call that a trance state. And what the reality check does is it brings you back into the here and now in the present and breaks the trance, you know, state, brings you back here, away from the past.
Which is what we need to do. We just got to keep redirecting. When I, we come back from our last break, I want to talk about, you know, what you had mentioned, what I had mentioned in the intro. It's about becoming the partner that you seek. And we'll be back in a moment with Lauren Mackler of laurenmackler.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Attention holistic coaches, therapists, and health practitioners. Are you struggling to grow your practice? As you've discovered, most trainings in holistic healing and any advanced training in holistic approaches do not include how to build a thriving practice, which can leave you struggling to find the answers. Until now. When you join the Global Association of Holistic Psychotherapy and Coaching, you get the proven training, tools, checklists, and community to help you build the thriving holistic practice of your dreams. Psychotherapist and founder Shelley Ryuta invites you to claim the 5-piece holistic practice building kit, which includes an audio and video training, a holistic practice assessment, and so much more. Visit jointhegap.com today. That's jointhegap.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And with me today is Lauren Mackler of laurenmackler.com. Lauren, when I introduced you, I had mentioned that you talk a lot about becoming the partner that you seek. What do you mean by that?
Well, as we were talking about in the very beginning, that people look to other people to define them, to fill them up, to make them feel worthy, make them feel safe, make them feel secure, all of those different things. And the other thing that happens in relationships is that very often we have expectations of how the other person should be. They should make us happy. They should know what we want without us having to articulate our needs. And there's an element of demanding and expectation that oftentimes when we have expectations, they're not met, especially when they're not articulated. So it's a setup for conflict. And the other aspect that we talked about before, too, earlier in the show, is when we are expecting somebody else or we are depending on somebody else or dependent on someone else for our sense of well-being or whatever it is, whatever void they're filling. if and when they go away, there goes our wholeness. There goes our, it's not wholeness, but our sense of wholeness or our illusion of wholeness. So instead of focusing on other people providing what we're missing, or expecting and demanding or holding expectations for our partners to do X, Y, Z, it's about becoming the ideal partner you seek, taking your focus off of the other person or off of finding that other person and saying, okay, how can I provide those things for myself instead of looking outside of myself, you know, for them? And I do relationship coaching is one of the types of coaching that I do. And I also individually working with singles that are, you know, wanting to have a relationship, as well as couples that are having, you know, struggles in their relationship. And one of the exercises that I use is I have people make a list, a brainstorm list of all the things, all the qualities and attributes of your ideal partner, whether they're in relationship or single, and let them just really go to town and write everything out, what they're looking for. And then I say, okay, now go down the list and check off those things that also describe you today. And those things that you can't check off, those become what I call your gap areas, and then creating a strategic action plan for filling those gaps, right? So let's say you're looking for somebody who earns at least $75,000 a year, and that's on your ideal partner list, but you're only earning $45,000 a year. Well, instead of looking for somebody else to provide that, which is a risky, you know, thing to do for all the reasons we talked about, it's focus on what can I do professionally? What, you know, do I need to go back to school? Do I need to get some added skills? Is it time to look for a new job? Do I start my own business? Whatever the strategy might be, so that you can get up to that $75,000 if that's important to you and that quality of life is important. Or maybe it's self-confidence. And so that's one of the things you write down, but you're not yourself very confident. Well, focusing on how you build that from the inside out, like you said, you know, using that terminology, which I love, versus the outside in. So that's what I mean by becoming the ideal partner you seek.
And it's so true. That is what we have to do, because I used to put everything, as so many of us, I think, do, especially a certain generation of women. I'm 55 this year. I would define myself by the person I was with. And, you know, you remember that movie Runaway Bride? I think it was Richard Gere and Julia Roberts.
Yeah. So, yes. I don't think I ever saw it all the way through for some reason. But, yeah, I know exactly the movie you're talking about.
And there's this one scene where she never knew what kind of egg she liked. And he couldn't believe that. He's like, what do you mean? She goes, I just eat what, you know, what the person I'm in a relationship with eats. He goes, you don't know what kind of eggs you actually like. And so later on in the movie, he puts a whole spread out of all the different types of eggs and wants her to try it so she could get to know her own truth. Do you know I bawled like a baby? I said, that's me. I don't even know what kind of eggs I like. And it hit me at a core level, Lauren, because I realized I spent my life, especially in my younger years, being the woman that person wanted me to be, instead of showing up authentically in my relationship. And I've been with Dana now, he's for God, 22 years. And when I met him, I remember saying, you know, we could have met 2 years earlier when we were at this event. And he said, oh, you wouldn't have been ready for me. And I remember saying, what do you mean? He said, you had a lot of healing to do. He goes, I'm looking for a partner that's by my side, not someone that needs a partner. Like me.
Ooh, I like this.
I tell him all the time, Lauren. I go, you're my spiritual guru. He told me that way back then, and of course I was still new on this path, and I remember getting all pouty faced. Like, what do you mean? And he goes, babe, you don't even know who you are yet. He goes, your wings haven't even come out of the cocoon yet. And because I did a lot of inner work, when I did meet him, I was ready. And then I understood about 6 months into the relationship what he meant when he said that. Because he had healed any issues that he had. He knew his worth. And he wanted someone to come into the relationship that knew hers. It was the best gift he ever gave me.
Well, you know, when we said at the top of the show that we will, our conditioned selves attract other conditioned selves, and by the way, that's most relationships. Most relationships are not conscious partnerships with two people that are operating and interacting from their authentic selves in the here and now. Most people's relationships they come together through the attraction of the conditioned self, and they play out, replicate the patterns of the past in the current relationship, which is why there's a lot of unhappy relationships, because a lot of those dynamics are dysfunctional and toxic. But, you know, he's right. He's obviously a wise soul, because if you're still operating from your conditioned self, which means that most of the time you're probably in the child ego state emotionally and reactive state, a mature, conscious, whole person is operating from the adult ego state. They don't want to be with a child. You know, they want to be with someone who, you know, people that we tend to attract and bring in people that are in a similar level of our of development and maturation.
And I can see how that played out too, because, and we have a few moments left. In the earlier years, I saw that I attracted men who wanted exactly that, a woman they could control. So, of course, I stepped into it. And then as I got on the personal and spiritual development path, so I've been with Dana 22 years, I stepped on the path 25 years ago, I was healing, and I talk a lot about healing from the inside out. I knew things were shifting when someone like Dana showed up in my life in the first place, because that told me I was vibrationally changing myself. Because in the past I couldn't have attracted a whole healthy person.
I know. It was funny, when I was going through my transformative process at its most intense, you know, level, I also, part of that was also seeing the differences in the people that I was pulling in. And each relationship became healthier and healthier. And it was sort of a process of, in the beginning, when I started the work and I started to be more aware, I still pull in the person, I still get engaged in the relationship, I still play out all the old stuff, but I had awareness, some awareness that this was going on, right? And then the second phase was, okay, that person shows up, I know it's a Mack truck, I've just got to get in front of the Mack truck from the onset. I know it's a Mack truck. It's like, I don't want to, but I have to step off the curb and get in front of the Mack truck. But then, you know, I get out of it sooner, right? And then the next sort of phase, you know, next phase was, well, the person would show up, I'd still feel attracted, but I would not go there. I just would not even engage and get involved. And then finally, I got to the place where I was no longer attracted to those people that had been not good for me and very good for my conditioned self, but absolutely not good for my authentic self. And that attraction was gone. And that's where I knew I really had achieved some change, because the wiring was changed.
And that's such, and it's such such a powerful internal shift. And I got to tell you, this conversation could keep on going, couldn't it?
It really could, yeah.
And I want to thank you for being here, because there was so much juicy, important content that we talked about today. And I just love the work you're doing in the world. It's not often that my guests actually live in the same state that I do. So that's another little, we'll have to meet one day in person.
I was going to say, we definitely have to get together for sure. That'd be nice.
Well, everyone, I want to invite you to stop by Lauren's site at laurenmackler.com, learn all about everything she is up to, her events, her workshops, and her coaching services. And as always, I want to thank you for being here, tuning in to Inspired Conversations, and I invite you to do so every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern for more conversations with extraordinary women like Lauren, who are living their truth, shining their light, and lighting the way for others on the path of self-discovery. So until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings, everyone.
thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.